Well, good evening, everybody. Well, good evening, everybody. Once again, we're back on air. Want to thank God for everything He has blessed us with. One of the things I want to tell us about and talk to us about, see, there are many terms that we can use. And I want to talk to us tonight, if it's not a lot about, if you abide with me and I with Him, I want to talk tonight with a very simple subject. And I made it very personal. I ask a question. Before we do, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts. And we ask you tonight to give us an understanding that we can do what you call us to do. We call upon you because we know you're the only true living God. Father, we know that some have left this earth and we know not, but you know better than we do. Those of us who are still living here, let us continue to fight the battle of faith and do the thing which you call us to do. I ask you to give us strength, give us reliability on your word. Your word. Your word is all we have. I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the question I want to have is going to come out of the Old and New Testament. So I ask the question of myself, where is my confidence? Where is my confidence? And I went and took up some words and looked at the full trust, belief, the power, trustworthy, reliability of a person and things. We have every confidence in that in our ability to succeed. See, all of us, the human beings, have that. We have the confidence. And I thought, I said, okay, so there's belief in oneself and one's power, ability, self-confidence, self-reliance, assurance. See, you don't lack no confidence. See, when Muhammad Ali was boxing, he lacked no confidence to defeating his foe. So it is. We take another attitude and look at this here. When we look at the communication to exchange. We exchange confidence. Tell somebody something and you do what you have to do. A presumption. See, and I want you to understand something tonight. The more we take this word and look at the idiom is what I have here. In confidence. As a secret or private matter, not to have divulged or over-communicate to others. See, sometimes there's a teleblabber. You know, you got some people you think you can tell something to, and they over-communicate and tell everybody with the belief in another person's sense of discretion. So you have to take understand. So I wanted us to talk about is, what is my confidence? Where is your confidence? So I ask you, and in teaching this, confidence comes from the ability. I put down four different points I want to talk to you about by the grace of God. Confidence comes from confidence. Confidence. I confide. I believe in what another person can do. Can they believe what I do? See, ability to reason. They have the ability to reason. When they taught us how to read our ABCs, do our 1, 2, 3s, show us how we need to do, you have to have the ability to reason. A child, when it's born in the earth realm, it's been told to me that when a baby is born, the first part it has, when it's born, it has the ability to know where the mother's milk is. It goes right to the breast because that's where it is. The baby starts reasoning while it's en route. When it come out of the womb, it's on the earth rim, they put it in the mama, the baby's home, the first thing the baby knows. So that's a reason we can take notice of. And we can say this is more than anything else we have for God. See, we have our ability to communicate with persons, with drawings, and ability to man up. Now, a big note here. To man up is ideas, i.e. therefore our own, up to what is right or wrong. See, some people know they've made a mistake. If a person ran a stop sign, and it was a woman, would she be in the term man up? Would they man up that I made a mistake? Would they have the confidence? Well, you ran a stop sign. No, you violated the law. See, but when you have confidence of what you have, I always say to myself, keep the confidence in ability to communicate, to be able to see, to be able to understand, but more than anything else, to be able to talk to God. And I'm going to get down to that, but I want to put that in so you can start feasting on it. See, your own ability to communicate. How many of you have seen people drive it with drawings? See, a home is drawn up. And not a lot of people don't understand, but a house is drawn up. It's from a drawing. Somebody has to read those. It's ability to communicate. An architect can be able to communicate because it's on a drawing. It's telling you. He went and put some lines, statements on a drawing. BR, one bedroom, one bathroom, one living room, one kitchen. He makes that known. And so when we communicate through drawing, it behooves us to take notice of what God would have us to do. See, I want us to notice that to do what I have the confidence, the confidence I have in things, things. Okay, for example, a car, a truck, a motorbike. I'll be able to get on a boat. These are things that are tangible, I can touch. Acting vessels. When we build these big houses we live in, these mansions that we live in, oh my Lord, don't we live in something big? They got one home here in the city of Houston that they want $43 million. It's got so many thousand feet. I said, you got to be a billionaire to own that house. Well, with God, as I bring it in, God has given us the understanding to be confident in Him. See, sometimes a lot, if you don't start telling the child that's growing up, even old age, we can start learning. Confidence is ensured. See, when I had my incident, I had to get the confidence to walk back better. Have to get the confidence to talk better. And I'm having the confidence right now to be on this radio station because I believe in what God has in tune to me to do. And if I do it, God will be glorified. But I have to tell everybody, you got to have the ability to see the buildings, the house, the airplane, the car, all of that stuff is going to be gone sooner or later. But if you can trust in God, you can see what God is saying. Now, let me give you one big point I have here. Let me ask a question. And I put this down here. Why is my confidence a wise man? I put this from the book of Proverbs 3:25. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. What is he saying? See, they use these terms in the old day and city because they had to look at a city. They had to scale it, climb it to get inside there. If you look at what God did with the two young ones that went in and told in the book of, help me, Lord, Jesus. But anyway, when God sent the spies in there and told the lady, he said, hang this red on the door. We'll know it's you. See, God has confidence in people he can put in. And God has. And I asked the Lord to give me the strength to be able to teach this lesson, to be able to understand, to say what he would have me to say, not what I. And I say, when a wise man, are you a wise man? Are you a wise woman? Do you look around what's going on around you before you enter involved something? See, some people don't, this is what I know what I'm doing. No, but I'm saying a wise person takes notice and looks around everything, see what a weakness and a strength is. You got to have confidence. When I was playing football, I always would say, if you can block that guy over there, I believe we can make a touchdown. I would block it this way. It was a confidence that I have. When I ran the football, I would say this to every one of us out there. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or kings. What am I saying? The Bible tells us, put your trust in the Lord. Because the princes ain't got nothing but a throne that vanishes at the moment. But when you trust in God, that's what a wise man comes to. He comes to an ultimate conclusion, and he takes the confidence. And here's what the Bible tells me also in Proverbs 14:26. For the Lord shall be my confidence and shall keep my foot from taking. My God Almighty. The fear of the Lord is a strong confidence, and his children shall take a place of refuge. See, God has been so good to the ages. As I said, where is your confidence? We're looking at this government. I don't have trust in this government. The government can't do nothing but make it worse and worse and worse. I'm not putting my trust in the president. I'm not putting my trust in Congress. I'm putting my trust in our read to you. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in the princes, the congressmen, the senators, the president, because they have one objective. They have a goal to be defined, and they both want to get there. But theirs is not. It's a coincidence. Not confidence. It's a coincidence. Oh, we've arrived at the same time. But if you keep trusting in God and believing in God's word, you will see for yourself. And I will say this to you with much kindness. In the fear of the Lord are strong. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And his children shall abide in refuge. Well, when you read the book of Psalm 19, verse 7, and the fear of the Lord is clean, it's wholesome. See, God's fear is clean, it's holy. My God Almighty. And when you got that confidence, when you put that confidence in your children, I got a son or daughter, I put my trust in God, and I said, Lord, as long as I'm alive on this earth, man, I want them to see the confidence that can be put out. And when they put that kind of confidence in, they can see it. See, our children need to understand. And today we sit around and we look and see everything that's going on in the world. Ebola's gone crazy, but we done prayed it out of America. One person came in, lost the life law. But it caused those of us who have the confidence in God. For the Lord shall be our confidence, and he shall keep our feet from being taken. Oh, but God is still good. God is still in charge. And let me tell you something. The more you trust in God, the more you can put up with the truth that I'm saying. When we do not put confidence in unfaithful man, it's time of trouble. It's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. My God, that's not a book of Proverbs. See, God speaks to us. He speaks to us and tells us, don't put your confidence in another unfaithful man. A lot of these men in the world, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, all fivefold ministers, don't put your confidence in these unfaithful men. But if you know it, that person is a person of God, go back and say to trust your confidence and the Lord, and you shall keep that foot. See, when God makes a statement, he said, I rule the mountain. I rule it. God said, I rule it. Not Willie Hunter. Not somebody else. God rules the hole we live in. And I will say this to us tonight, but this brings me into a closer confidence. If you put your confidence in unfaithful man, I've done that, lost a lot of things, but find my way back. In the time of trouble, it's a is like a broken tooth. How many are and a foot out of joint. My God Almighty. When you put your trust in unfaithful men, unfaithful people, and see the devil is trying to say to you, well, you ain't got to worry about what he's saying. I told you. No, I'm telling you what the Bible says. God says, put confidence, not in uncertain men, in the time of trouble. And like a broken tooth. It is like a broken tooth. And a foot out of joint. My God Almighty. See, one thing I would say to us tonight is teaching this, and this is confidence. I was minded of you, unto you, before. But when the Apostle Paul wrote this, he told him, brother, he said, wait a minute, guys. He said, and this is the confidence. I was minded to you. I'm telling you, this is what I need to get you to understand, Paul said, that come to you before, that you might have a second benefit. Because I'm coming to you again. See, the first time I came, you guys were not confident. But now I'm going to tell you, you have the confidence. I want to mind you now. He said, I want to mind you. I want to mind you. And then he says, I wrote you the same unto you. Least when I come, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice. See, when a pastor, when the fivefold minister is out teaching from place to place and come back, he said, wait a minute, with the same scripture, and I wrote you the same, at least I came. I don't want to have no sorrow. I don't want to y'all and fall back. I want to know y'all was moving forward, not backwards. He says these words, and he says, good God Almighty. He said, I want to rejoice, having confidence in you, that my joy. See, when somebody come on the radio station and they give a word of the Lord and they begin to tell what thus said the Lord, what the Lord is doing for them, it blesses me. It blesses me to the royalness of God. And I want to say this to us tonight as I come. I'm not closing, but I got to say this to you. When you take notice of what the Bible says, he says, I rejoice, therefore that I have confidence in you in all things. See, I'm saying to the listening audience, I have confidence in you. Because I know some of us, some people want to be on a radio station. See, some people want to be on pick a fight, do a fight, run off. I'm being honest because I didn't have them on a radio station. They didn't come on to pick a fight, do a fight, and run off. And I said, where'd they go to? And you know where they went? They went around the corner. Because they don't want to do what... See, they don't want the fivefold ministry. More than they don't want to see God rejoice. See, God rejoices when he sees us have confidence. When we stand up and say, no, I'm trusting in God. I'm believing in God. Through Jesus' name. They, Satan said, what? You trusting in God? Yes, I am. I'm trusting God through Jesus Christ. See, the Bible tells me that when the devil heard the voice of God, he trembled. He ain't got no confidence. He can't create nothing. He's this one who comes and says, I can do this. He comes and he tries to duplicate. He makes it unknown. He does it wrong. Only God has the power to speak things into existence. And all he does is take a person who's lost their way in from God and don't have the confidence. And I will say to all the students that are out there, listen, the confidence that you have, do not give it to anybody. Do not give it. Do not. Do not. If you have a touch of confidence, stay with you. No, I'm not going to do that. That's confidence. Well, we want to go, no, I'm not going to do that, because you don't know if it's an 18-wheeler coming out. You don't know if it's a... See, in the book of Proverbs, it told a young man, says, look, do not follow these men. They're bloodthirsty. Have the confidence in the word. My beloved son, in the 4th or 5th or 6th chapter of Proverbs, he writes and says, my son, have the confidence in what you've heard, what you read, what you studied. Have the confidence. Well, what happened? See, And I will say this to you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with confidence. While with I think to be bold against some, which think of us as we walk according to the flesh. Oh, my Lord. We look at this word and we see what God is saying to us tonight. And he used the Apostle Paul to bring it. He said, look, brothers and sisters, that I may not bold when I come in presence. He said, I may look like I'm weak. But I'm bold. But I'm bold. See, he had to be bold for the fight he had. For the man that gone through the shipwreck, been whipped, stoned, beat up, lied on, put out and had to climb over the city at night, come across that and have no food, ride in the sea. But God gave him the confidence. And when he writes this confidence, he tells us. And you know what I love about the Apostle Paul says? He says in the book of Corinthians, he said, this word that I have received did not come from man, nor was it given to him by man, but it was through the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the confidence he has. We need to have the same confidence. I have the confidence. I'm pressing in. I'm pressing in. Why am I pressing in? Because the more I press in, I have the confidence. And let me show you something else. Who is that coming? Good God Almighty. My third point is how to put confidence in what God has said for me. And here's one scripture that says, and now, little children, the God writes and said, little children. In other words, he said, because that's how they used that, they were write in different diadems, and he write in points, abide in Jesus, that when he shall appear, we have the confidence and not be ashamed of his coming. Oh, my Lord. See, he's coming. Some people have left the face of this earth and do not know Jesus Christ. Did you stop by and tell them about, let me show you the confidence. Come go to church with me. Let's have prayer. Right on the spot. Can you receive Jesus Christ? That's confidence. And in John 3:21, it said, beloved, if our hearts condemn us not. Good God Almighty, I'm ready to go finish. When have we confidence? We have confidence toward God. If our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Toward God. See, you take notice of what God is saying. And beloved, I will say this with love and kindness. If we can do what God has called us to do, oh, good God Almighty. And he says, beloved, he said, hey, Hunter, hey, y'all out there, listen. If our spiritual hearts condemn us not, if our hearts condemn us not, don't worry about all the stuff that's going on. Don't let your heart get all tangled up. Keep your eyes on Yeshua HaMashiach. Keep your eyes on him. Then we have confidence toward God. And confidence toward God, like I told the person, it's like having a baseball game in hand. You done won it already. Because you're on God's side. It's like playing football. You want it always. All you got to do is put your trust in God and believe God. Beloved, I will say this to you. John 5:14 says this one thing. It says this thing. And this is the confidence. Wow. My God Almighty. That we have in him. That if we ask. Oh, A-S-K, ask. And seek not anything according to his will. Not my will, but his will. He hears me. And when I read it like this, read it like this. And this is the confidence that I have in him. That if I ask him anything, that I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. Now, you're going to have to hook up with me now. If you want to get, on the ship that I'm on. Because I'm on the first boat. The first boat is headed on in. And the first boat is waiting for us to see what God has called us to do. And as we take notice of what God is doing for us and through us, And I will say this as I come to a close and the lesson tonight, my beloved. I want you to know one thing. This is the confidence. Ooh, Jesus. This is the confidence that I have. That I have. In Him, in Jesus Christ. That if I ask anything according to His will, He heareth me. Beloved, I pray tonight some of you I may never see again. But I want to let you know, if you put your confidence in God through Jesus Christ, you can ask anything you want. Because if you come to Him, He said, you are my beloved son. Go back and read the script. This is my beloved son, and whom I'm well pleased in. And here we are by the same, because Jesus paid the price for us to become sons of God. We were through the redemption. His blood washed and purged and made us. Therefore, when I go before God and I talk to God, and God hears my prayer, and God allowed me to talk to Him, I say, fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire of the Holy Ghost. I ask God all the time, Father, I ask, this is the confidence that I have. This is the confidence that I have. That if I ask anything, if it's in your will, it's in your will, Father. Your word said your will is your word and your word is your will. Hallelujah. But Father, I love you. I love you. Because my heart don't condemn me. I have come this toward you, God. My heart don't condemn me. My heart is, I've come before you now. I put my heart out. Lord, search my heart. Holy Spirit, show me the way. Show me the way. Show me the way. And I guarantee you, He'll show you the way. Because He's standing and He's waiting. And this is the confidence that I have. This is the confidence. This is my ability to take God at His word. Father, tonight there's maybe somebody listening that don't know you, but I pray tonight they will come to understand you're the only way that they can see mankind. Give them to know that you're the one true God. All things are possible. And I want to thank you for tonight. I give you the glory and I praise you for everything you've done. And tonight's another night we say we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And this is the confidence. Woo! Yes, Lord, that I have. Praise the living God. Praise Him. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And just remember now, if you can just, what I said to you tonight, if you have the confidence, as I tried to define it to you, I said it's a trust, believe in the powers of God, trustworthy, or the reliability of a thing. God is not a thing, He's a person. You have the ability to communicate. It's in private and secret matter. See, God will tell you everything you need to know. The more you trust in Him, hallelujah, the more He wants you to trust in Him. And I want to say this to you tonight. Remember, tonight's the night that God's still in charge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But tonight I'm supposed to wait on another brother to come. But I want to just put this over on the people tonight, these words. Because the more we see what God is doing for us and through us, the more God will tell us. See, I know this, that the more we trust in God, the more we're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. This is the confidence that I have. This is the confidence that I have. I'm looking unto Jesus. Well, you're not gonna get. I'm already healed. I am already healed. I'm healed by the word of God. And I can tell you one thing about what God said. If God said it, it's a done deal. I always tell everybody, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's a done deal with God. Amen. It's a done deal. Hallelujah. Wow. Keep going. My God, my God. God is so good. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Well, and I say this to a lot of people tonight. I'm still in love with God. Ain't gonna let nobody take me in love with God. Nope. Ain't gonna happen.
My words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So there, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145:8-9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103:3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30:2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. In his right mind, and they will pray. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Then mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed. And he spake plain, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft time it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, And he cometh to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up far to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse and the 41st verse. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, And it came to pass also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue and talked. And there was a man whose right hand was with him. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose, and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse. And he came down with them, and stood in the plain, in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Then in Luke the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 17. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men are to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, we shall read verses 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying, and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put thee into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they him,
I don't see nothing.
Which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk. And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come up unto thee. Then in John the 9th chapter, we shall read verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Then in John chapter 10, verse 10, The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the work of the devil. Then again, Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 1st verse. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Mark the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. John the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Acts the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Annas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Annas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things or beings in heaven, and things or beings in earth, and things or beings under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 23. Here Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us when we believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then in John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, Mark, the 16th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Acts, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom he delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name. Now notice that. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And being let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Then Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Mark 11:22-26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Romans 4:17, and then verses 19-21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So then faith cometh, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then 1 John 5:4-5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Romans 6:14. For sin, or Satan, shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Then Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. John chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, or the margin reads, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession, or again the margin reads, the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. That the communication of thy mouth may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Joel chapter 3, verse 10. Let the weak say, I am strong. I want to read Deuteronomy chapter 28, reading the entire chapter, and then Galatians chapter 3, also reading the entire chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee over and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursed, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he hath consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy
You're on.
Oh, great. How you doing tonight?
Hello, Doctor? Pastor.
Good. Hi, this is
Hello?
Pastor. Yeah.
Hey, okay, you on there?
You got me?
Yeah.
Okay, go. Yeah, this. I'm getting a lot of feedback.
Not from my end.
Let me see. All right, let's see if we start this over again. How's everybody doing tonight? This is Pastor William Irwin from Broken Yoke International Ministries in Houston. We're right here live with the KSASK radio station. I spent this week, or last week, at a global summit. And I would like just to kind of give you some little statistics of what went on there. This global summit was international. We had ministers and missionaries and people from all over the world that came to this summit here in Houston. It was 3 days. And listening to some of these missionaries and what they were doing and how they laid their lives down just to go into to areas where no one else would go, and the stories that they were telling. There was one man from China where he had been arrested 7 times. And the 7th time he was arrested, they broke both of his legs and they told him he wasn't going to leave prison. But he sat there and got in a dream, and God told him to walk out the doors. For himself, says, well, this is crazy. These guys are there with AK-47s. Says, I can't walk out the doors. And it said, walk out the doors. And this man got up, and he started walking. And he opened up the cell door, walked out the cell door. He walked across the courtyard. And he walked up to the big gates, and they said the guards were watching him and weren't thinking anything about it, and he walked out the doors, and he was set free. There was other stories that people were talking about. There was a young lady in the Philippines where she gone in, and she goes into the jungles that have been kidnapped by the drug lords and the drug cartels and They train these kids from an age about 6 or 7 years old, but by the time they're 12 years old, they're called orphan warriors. And they've already killed anywhere from 6 to 10 people. And she goes into the jungles and grabs these kids and brings them out and rehabilitates them and brings them back. And she's got favor with the drug cartel, that they allowed 25 of these young kids come out with malaria. And she's working on trying to find a place for a home for them, to rehabilitate them, to change their lives. And there's story after story of people every day doing miraculous wonders through Christ throughout the world. There was people that came from Pakistan and had worked in the refugee camps. And they had talked about in these refugee camps that the Muslims were coming to the Lord because they've seen what their religion is, and they've changed. And what the devil had put in for evil, God made for good, because there's Muslims, thousands of them, daily coming to the Lord. They're escaping the war-torn zones of all over Afghanistan and Pakistan and all the other regions over there. They're coming in by the thousands and changing their lives, laying it down for the Lord. You know, this man with China that I was talking about just a second ago, he was telling me that there is on the average right now in China at least 1 million people to the Lord. 1 million people a day. And they sat there and he said that's only 7% of the Chinese population. Right now, there's over 100 million people right now that has come to the Lord. And God, what the devil has once again, like I said, has caused for evil, God changed it for good. All these mishaps, all these horrible things that's going on in the world, God is cleansing. He is changing lives. He is keeping his promise to each and every one who would come to the Lord for salvation. He's doing this. And it takes the people, these missionaries and ministers, that going into the back, into the jungles, going into the places where no man will ever go or want to go. And they're laying their lives down. And they're laying their lives down for these people. You know, I sit and been listening to news media here, and I've been listening, and I've been hearing both sides. And they're talking about the gays, they're talking about Islam, they're talking about everything else. And you know, God put it in my heart to let you guys know and tell you tonight. We can't continue to bash people and expect them to come to the Lord. I know that many of you that are listening to me right now, I know in my heart, God didn't get me by beating me up. He got me by loving me. He has called us to minister. He has called us to go out into the highways and the byways and draw them near onto the Lord. And that's through salvation. And the only way that's done is through the Holy Spirit that is in you. You can't allow your flesh anymore to go forth and continue to bash. It doesn't make any difference what nationality you are. It doesn't make any difference what color you are. It makes no difference what you're doing. We need to reach out to everyone in the love that God has given you, that he shared with you, that we are to share with those. And we can't do it by beating them up. I know for a fact that all the days my travels and going to and fro wherever I've been up and down the East Coast, I've been overseas, and it makes no difference where I go. I find the love of Christ. And yet I go out onto the streets and minister onto the streets, and I hear people that are zealous with bullhorns telling people they're going to hell, screaming at them, hollering at them. How do you get them to come to Christ when you're bashing them, when you're beating them up? I know doing disaster ministry, they're lost, they're broken, they're torn apart, and it's through the love of Christ and the love and the compassion that God had for you that we share with those who have lost everything and draw them near unto the Lord. This is how we're supposed to operate in Christ. I wrote a thing the other day on a blog, and I sat there and I said, you know, when I was taking flying lessons, had a friend of mine who was a pilot, and he told me, he said, don't ever be afraid to ask questions. He said, most people who have any integrity would be more than happy to answer your questions because someone taught them, and that's why they were flying today. He said, if those who are too busy or don't have the time to answer your question, he says, they're not concerned or worried about you. They're more concerned and worried about themselves. Just don't get in the plane with them. How do we expect what God has taught us if we don't take the time to love on somebody? Love on that man that's laying underneath the bridge somewhere, that's laying out in the field somewhere, or that woman that's got two or three kids somewhere and crying out, and it has seems to be no end. Why aren't we wrapping our arms around them and loving them and drawing them to Christ instead of bashing them? We're bashing them because of their sexual conduct. We're bashing them because of the way they look. We're bashing them because what color they are. We're beating them up for whatever other reason that goes on in the world. And we're not to act like this. We're not to be like that. God put compassion in each and every one of us. And we need to start showing compassion. Showing compassion to those around the world. It doesn't matter what faith they are. Hindu. I don't care if they're Muslim. I don't care what nationality they are. We are to show the love of Christ. How else are we going to draw anybody? How are we going to draw anybody to the Lord if we're constantly beating them up? We can't do it. See, God sat there and he told us, says, once we know the truth, we should abstain from our worldly ways. He didn't say and tell us that we run from those who are still living in that atmosphere. Once we know the truth, once we know the truth, we're supposed to stop acting and living that way. We're supposed to turn from it. And we're supposed to start walking in a righteous manner with Christ. That does not stop us from going back to reach in to the pit of hell and grab somebody and pull them out where you've been. It doesn't mean that we go back into bed with them. It doesn't mean we sit there and we go there and sit there and get drunk with them. It doesn't mean anything of that nature at all. He says for us to abstain. Because when we abstain from doing these things, they begin to see Christ in you. They begin to see the change in you. They begin to ask questions. They begin to wonder how it is you went from being what you were to who you are today. There's a door for you. There's an answer for you. Because it's the love of Christ. It's the love of Christ that's in me that I want to share with you. I want to be able to share that love of Christ with you. Doesn't mean I'm going to get into bed with you. It doesn't mean I'm going to get drunk with you. But if you want to come on this side, I'll be more than happy to talk with you. You'll get resistance. You'll get everything else. But they'll continue to watch you. And they'll watch you in a way that you won't even begin to see or understand. They're not watching to see you fall. They're not waiting to see and go, ha, ha, ha. They're watching you to see the transformation that God has made in your life. And they begin to wonder and they begin to think, how can I have that? A lot of times they want to sit there and sidetrack the fact that they don't want to go and be with the Lord. They don't want to have to receive Jesus. They just want what you have. How are you going to share that, what you have, when they hear you beating someone up? You're browbeating them. You're chastising them. You're calling them names. We're watching it on a daily basis. I'm watching it and I'm listening to it on the radio. I'm listening to these people that are so far way out on the left that want to destroy what God's principles were for humanity, for this world, and how to operate in. And they don't understand even breaking down the system for which our forefathers in this nation have brought together and put together and made this a wealthy nation, that they want to tear it down. And they don't understand the fact by tearing that establishment down, they think they're going to gain, but they're not. Because what it's going to end up doing is going to put themselves in servitude. You'll be working for the government. You'll not have the time for yourself. You won't have the free time for yourself. China, North Korea, South Korea, all these other Asian nations are beginning to see what we are losing and is capitalized on. Their nations are prospering. When I was in the Philippines, I walked into a department store and there was all these tables. There was a young man or a young woman and they took care of that table, whether it was all full of shirts, all full if it was pants, it didn't make any difference. If it was sweaters, if it was shoes, it made no difference. Whatever was on that table, they took care of that table. And they took care of you as a customer coming in if you come to their table. They got to the idea and understanding that by keeping them employed, there's prosperity. There's also prosperity in our lives if we keep ourselves employed with the Lord. We follow after Him. We allow Him to work in us, work through us, and He will take care of us. As I know, He took care of the missionaries around the world that I listened to and all the stories that they had. There are so many stories, not just the Chinese guy, not the missionary but I was talking to the people in Uganda. I was talking to the people from Ukraine. And I was talking to all these other people who themselves have put their lives on the line for the Lord. They go in with compassion to pull them people out of the fire and give them a new start, a new life in Christ. I'm challenged right now, any churches right now, in all the churches, what are you doing for the mission fields? Who are you supporting? Have you put missions together? Are you sending them out, or are you keeping them in the pews? We can't win anybody to Christ sitting in the four walls. We have to step out. We have to step out of the four walls, and we have to go out to the streets, the highways, and the byways as God has called us to do. We have to step out, and we have to go out. And no matter how hard or the anguish or how it seems, even if you save one soul, there's a jubilee in heaven. If you go all your whole life and only save one, the angels are dancing and throwing a party in heaven for that one that you brought to salvation. We're going out on missions with literally nothing in our pockets. And God has supplied everything that we needed for that mission, plus. What are you doing for the body of Christ? What are you doing for the mission fields? What are you doing now in your churches, putting yourself above what God has called you to do? Or are you putting yourself in action to do what God has called you to do? Are you being obedient unto the Lord? Or are you just sitting waiting for the rapture? Brother and sister, I don't know about you, but I think I want to go knowing my hands are dirty, and I don't mean dirty in the respect that they're dirty because I'm doing wrong, but dirty to doing the work of the Lord. That doesn't make any difference. I want to know that He looks at my hands and sees the work that I've done for the Lord. I want Him to be able to see, not for my credit, not for my glory, but for His glory. I'd rather stand before God with a pair of dirty hands working for the Lord with clean hands, and He's asked you what you do. What did you do with that orphan? What did you do for that widow woman? What did you do for that nation? What did you do for that tribe in Africa? What did you do when they cried out for help in that disaster? What did you do to help your neighbor? Did you do to help your brother? What did you do? Could you imagine standing before God and being asked that? What are you going to be able to tell Him? Time is short. Like I said, Pakistan, Iran, and all these other, in the Sudan, people who are fleeing the wars and they're fleeing everything else, they're turning their lives over to the Lord. And there is ministers, there is missionaries from all over the world, all walks of life, going into these areas, these disaster zones, these dangerous war zones. They're going in, not caring about themselves, going in to make a difference in their lives. What are you doing? I'm challenging the church today. What are you doing for the body of Christ? What are you doing now, the lost and the forsaken? What are you doing to help those who can't help themselves? I'm not asking you to sit there and do something for your glory to say, hey, look what I did. Because God will only count that as to what you say is, but what He will count is what you do from your heart. What you do is stepping out of your comfort zone, getting into the actions, getting into the fields, getting into the highways and the byways, and searching the bushes and the trees, the mountaintops, the valleys, going after those who are hurting, who are lost, and those who are also deserving the same chance God gave you, that somebody came and spoke into your life. Somebody came along and held you up. Somebody came along and gave you a helping hand. Somebody who God had sent, it's time to return. It's time for us to go back and return what God has sent unto you, to return that favor unto someone else, a stranger you don't know. It's time for that helping hand. It is time to get out of your comfort zone and do what God has called you to do today. Father, I'm asking right now, Lord, for anyone who has been hesitating, who has had it on their heart right now, Lord, anyone, that you begin to open those doors and you begin to show the light of your love and the compassion that you had, Lord. Restore it, rekindle it in their lives, Lord, so that they can be healed, so they will be able to go out once again, Lord, and continue the fight and the battle. Father, I ask right now for those who are willing to step out, Lord, that you would open that door, that you would make a way for them right now, Lord. You would make a way for them to be able to go into the fields, the highways, the byways, get in the boat, get in the plane, go across the seas, to be able to do what you've called them to do. Lord, I know you provide everything for everyone who ever steps out, who has faith and believes, Lord. I know this. I've witnessed it. I've seen it. I've lived it. I've done it myself just as much as I sit there with hearing the testimonies this week of all those missionaries and all those pastors and all those laymen who laid their lives out on the line, Lord, for you, for the kingdom of heaven. Father, I ask that you would bless them right now. And I also ask that you would give them safe passages back to wherever they were going, Lord, back to China, going back to the Philippines, going back to Ukraine, going back to Afghanistan, going back to Pakistan, India. It makes no difference where they were going. Scotland, Lord. And those who want to follow, those who want to be able to go out right now, Lord, in the mission field, that you encourage them, Lord. I lift them all up to you right now, Lord. You put a lamp upon their feet, Lord. I pray that you give them a direction, Lord, and a mind of Christ, and not of fear, and step out as you have called them, Lord. And we thank you for what you're doing for them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, brother, amen, amen.
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 Amen. Man, that was a great message. Sean.
Well, thank you.
Wow. The man,
I wasn't ranting and raving tonight.
Yeah. Well, I want to let you know that you've done a great job tonight, and God is so good, His mercy endures forever. And I want you to know, keep putting the word of God out there, because you said something that comes to my attention. There are a lot of people I know that are, I always say, from the funny farm. You got the lesbians and the homos, you got the thieves, the robbers, but God loves them all. And I look back at my life and see where I came from. And I said, Lord, whatever you have me to do, I want to thank you. Well, you know, brother, we've had a great time tonight, and I want to thank God for you coming on the radio with a powerful word tonight, a word of encouragement and revival. And we just want to say, but I want this to say to the people in America, you've heard the gospel. The call, the invitation was made, it's up to you. It's between you and God, and God is looking at you. As my beloved pastor said, He's not looking at what you got. He's looking at what you want to do for the kingdom of God. And so until next time, the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and they say shalom, 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 in Jesus'
shalom.
Name. Shalom.
Amen. Amen. If the people want to go to my website, they go to BYIM.us. If they want to get involved in mission, they can contact me there.
Okay, God bless.
All right.